Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, this report is rather all over the place this week, but bear with me. I've been all over the place. First, the good news from New York, where statistics are pouring in as this Broadway season ends, at least for shows that will qualify for the Tonys. So in total, the 2024-25 season included 43 productions. Now, last year at this time, they had 39. Of those productions, 21 were straight plays, 21 musicals, and one was a special event. That was Ben Platt, live at the Palace. The season had 29 new shows and 14 revivals. 19 of this season's Broadway shows have already closed. Now, many did have limited runs, to be fair, while 24 are still running on Broadway. So it's fair to say that things are alive and well, with special thanks to George Clooney, Denzel Washington, the boys of Glengarry Glen Ross, Sarah Snook, Audra McDonald, Sunset Boulevard, and more. I can't remember a season with so many big names not always associated with the theater world. Let's hold on George Clooney for a moment, please. Good Night and Good Luck has broken its own all-time record for highest-grossing play in Broadway history, and the house record at the historic Winter Garden Theater, where it's playing, of course. Last week, the production broke its own record for 8 performances with a gross of $3,784,000. That's 3 million. Plays that make $1 million a week are considered doing well. Anyway, as for new openings, the latest one is Lincoln Center's Floyd Collins, starring Jeremy Jordan. And at the end of this week, finally comes Just in Time. That's the Bobby Darin show starring Jonathan Groff. I did get a peek of that before I left, and all I can say at this point is I think you'll be happy. Moving around the country now, in our nation's capital, yep, my favorite subject, the latest round of Kennedy Center dismissals. Another wave of cuts since President Trump assumed control of that institution in February. Now, these layoffs include teams in government relations, marketing, social media, and rentals. Many of us are still holding our breaths as to whether the iconic Kennedy Center honors will or should even happen. It's always my favorite show of the year. Trump essentially installed himself as chairman and removed Biden-era appointees along with longtime chair and major donor David Rubenstein. That takes guts to take him on. Anyway, Trump, of course, criticized past diversity efforts and pledged to steer programming toward what he calls common sense. Well, stay tuned. Meanwhile, I'm in Los Angeles as we speak, and here's one thing that caught my attention. When I was here about, I think, 2 years ago, my son and I went to see a very small production called Henry Johnson. It was written by David Mamet and starred Shia LaBeouf, which is why my son was interested. It was sort of an interesting little show, but we heard nothing more, and I assumed it went nowhere. Well, this week, I pick up the trades and I read Henry Johnson, the film adaptation of the play from writer-director David Mamet, has released its first trailer for the movie. The full cast reprises their stage roles on screen, including Shia LaBeouf, end quote. Interesting that Mamet went in that direction rather than bringing this one to a New York stage. Anyway, once again, it shows how long it takes any show to end up somewhere. Now, the hottest show out here in LA seems to be at the Echo Theater. It is called The Enabler Monologues. It's described as a searing, darkly comedic theatrical protest event that exposes the enablers of fascism, the politicians, the billionaires, media moguls, and power players who paved the way for Trump's return. This one features 28 monologues by very good actors. I won't be able to see it. It's already sold out, which says something. But we'll see if that one heads to the other coast, where there is certainly no shortage of good actors. Now, let's see a few more news updates. It seems in New York, Anne Juliet has just played its 1,000th performance. And my first ex-husband, the off-Broadway show created by Joy Behar, which I've discussed here, that one is going on the road. The final New York cast, however, includes Mary Lou Henner, Marsha Mason, Julia Sweeney, and Benja K. Thomas. That's really a good cast. Joy Behar herself will appear in special Wednesday matinees on April 30th, where she'll be joined by Whoopi Goldberg, May 7th and May 14th. But the one with Whoopi Goldberg is April 30th. That's going to be a tough ticket. Also off-Broadway, people are discussing one called Becoming Eve, written by Emil Weinstein and based on Abby Shava Stein's memoir of the same name. Now, in her 20s, Stein left her community and her religion, and she came out as trans. Stein has since returned to Judaism, by the way, and is a rabbi at a progressive congregation in Park Slope. Now, this play is the always relevant off-Broadway company, Theater for a New Audience. And I assume President Trump will not be in the ticket line for that one. Next up for the hugely popular Encore series, Wonderful Town, which tells the story of two sisters in 1935 who move from Ohio to Greenwich Village to pursue their artistic dreams and maybe find love along the way. I think that was one of the first shows I ever saw on Broadway. Tony winner Anika Noni Rose, one of my favorites, plays Ruth, an aspiring writer, and Aisha Jackson plays Eileen, an aspiring actress, who encounter an assortment of colorful characters as they strive and, by the way, sing to music by Leonard Bernstein with lyrics by Betty Comden and Adolph Green. Encores only does a few shows over a weekend or two, so it's always an impossible ticket. It's always better to purchase a season well in advance. And I confess I'm sorry to miss the latest at the Public Theater by the always inventive Carol Churchill. Her latest takes the form of a collection of 4 one-act plays under the title Glass, Kill, What If Only. Together, this is being called a splendid emotional production. Anyway, I'm most sorry to miss the star of that show, Deirdre O'Connell. She's a former Tony winner, and I might brag, she played my daughter's mother in a play at the Cherry Lane Theater years ago. Now, let me take a moment here to say that there are so many good things people in the theater community do that we rarely know about. For example, a gun control effort out of Chicago, which encourages people of all ages to write plays on that subject. Now, its head man, Michael Cody, told me this week that they have nearly 50 organizations involved, from regional theaters to high schools to gun violence prevention groups. And readings have involved more than 3,000 artists and reached 14,000 people, raising thousands of dollars for gun control groups. It sounds great, and I like the idea of young people learning to write about the subject they are so affected by. And of course, we still have Broadway Cares, Equity Fights, AIDS, theatergoers happily throwing money into those hats as they leave the venues. I still remember Hugh Jackman making the greatest pitch I had ever heard on stage, and I think he broke the record for what people threw in those hats. Continuing on the subject, Ariana DeBose, Jeremy Jordan, the Rodriguez, and more are set for one called Janice Jam. This is the third year for that one. It raises money for the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. That happens May 5th at Sony Hall in Manhattan. And then there is a Theater of War Productions, which I constantly endorse. And now comes their latest called A Refutation on April 23rd, as in this week. It comes from Baltimore, but that doesn't matter because these can always be streamed from home. A Refutation deals with Philadelphia's 1793 yellow fever epidemic. That serves as a catalyst for guided audience discussions about health inequities in America today. It's grounded in the perspectives of nurses, caregivers, and first responders. Just go to theaterofwar.org to learn more how you can stream that. They did such great stuff during COVID. Every week was an important subject, and you hear experts talking, and you could call in your questions, etc. And let's not forget Survivors, created to ensure that young people never forget the Holocaust. This one, written by Wendy Kaut, is being performed in museums and primarily in schools across the country. Thousands of students watching actors, diverse and young, by the way, telling them the truth about something too many schools are really no longer teaching. I'll be attending one of those at a public school here next week. Also out here in Los Angeles, the Center Theater Group just hosted 60 middle school students for its production of Shrek the Musical. All tickets were free and were primarily for wild care victims and first responders. Again, the theater community stepping up. Anyway, I hope you'll all step into a theater near you. And I'll see you next week.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.